Time is running out. The season has reached its final quarter. At 8-3-1, the Seattle Seahawks come to town well-positioned for a playoff run.
Touchdown, Seahawks!
Yes, the Packers' playoff hopes are still very much intact, but at 6-6, are still very much in question.
We need every game. We're just still two games back. We got to win them all, and this is just the next one.
Can the Packers hold serve at home against a Seattle team that's coming off a 33-point drubbing of the Carolina Panthers? Larry and I talk Packers and Seahawks next on Packers Today.
This is what you play the game for. You play to play the best teams.
They're a good defense, though. They fly around. It's going to be a lot of fun.
We're going to do what we got to do to go out and win this ballgame.
Here's a look at the NFC playoff picture entering today's games. Dallas is assured of at least a wild card berth. The Cowboys can clinch the NFC East with a win tonight against the Giants and can clinch a first round bye with a win and a Seahawks loss. The Packers at 6-6 are in the hunt, but remain two games back of the Lions for the NFC North title. Hello and welcome to Packers Today, presented by Verizon. I'm Ted Stefaniak alongside Larry McCarron. And Larry, you know, it was just a few weeks ago, Aaron Rodgers was saying, hey, this team can run the table. They get a couple of big wins, but today you've got a different animal coming into town.
Yeah, a very good 8-3-1 Seattle Seahawks team. But before we anoint anybody, please keep this in mind, Ted. The Seattle Seahawks are 2-3-1 on the road. And I think one of the reasons for that is, defensively speaking, have an outstanding defense. It's more outstanding at CenturyLink Field because it's a defense predicated on speed and quickness, not so much bulk and brawn. And because of that, as I mentioned, 2-3-1 on the road. And for more on the Seahawks, let's go to this week's scouting report brought to you by CarMax. And here are five things you need to know about today's Packers opponent.
The Packers' Christian Michael is actually Seattle's leading rusher by a wide 243-yard margin. The Seahawks released him when Thomas Rawls got healthy.
The handoff to Rawls again. Bounces it right side. Inside the 40, 35 on the run. Touchdown, Seahawks!
Rawls is coming off a 106-yard, two-touchdown performance.
It's a beast, a young kid, real hungry man. Kid that come from nothing, man, and just wanted all. Proud of him.
All-world safety Earl Thomas broke his leg on this play and is out for the season. On the very next play, Seattle's back end gave up a 55-yard touchdown pass.
He hangs on for a touchdown right down the middle of the field where Earl Thomas would have been.
He's a sideline to sideline safety, and when the ball's in the air, he can get there so fast and so quick. He's kind of the last line of defense.
Russell Wilson is healthy again and can beat you with his arm or his legs. He ran for just 79 yards in the first 10 games. He's run for 109 in the last two.
We talk about quarterbacks. Can they play in the pocket and out of the pocket? And Russell's also, you know, obviously showed that he has that ability to do both. So he's obviously a focal point for us.
The cut block is alive and well in Seattle.
I mean, it's all about the hands. You got to get your hands on the guys and just stab them to the ground.
Tyler Lockett is Seattle's home run threat. He had a 75-yard touchdown run.
Tyler Lockett takes it to the house.
A 40-yard catch and mostly run.
Runs away from one man, 20, 25 down the sideline, 30, 40, midfield.
And a 46-yard kickoff return against Carolina.
He's explosive. He can get in the return game or offensively with the jet sweeps, screens, go up top on, you know, a fade or anything like that. He's really fast.
Holy catfish! What a play!
And Ted, thing 5A should be that the Seahawks are number one in points allowed, and that's important. But as I mentioned, it's a better defense on the fast track at CenturyLink Field. But overall, defensively speaking, they got real good players at every level. Up front, Cliff Avril, Michael Bennett, newcomer Frank Clark can all win one-on-ones. In the linebacking core, K.J. Wright, Bobby Wagner, really good. And in the back end, even without Earl Thomas, they got Richard Sherman and Cam Chancellor, who's a hit waiting to happen. That guy goes after folks.
And Richard Sherman, you mentioned him. You know, he's a guy that grabs headlines around the nation. He's also the leader of their attitude as well, isn't he?
No, he's a special player, and he has overcome kind of pedestrian speed at a speed position cornerback, but he gets it done with length, long arms, very physical game. Heck of a player.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about that Seahawk offense. A guy that moved from New Orleans to Seattle last year kind of surprised a lot of people. Jimmy Graham, terrific tight end, and that's something the Packers have had trouble defending.
I'll tell you what, Ted, when the Seahawks get in the red zone, I hope they don't get there, but if they do, who's ever got Graham, hang on to your helmet because he's getting the ball. Russell Wilson, I mean, when he's in the red zone, he's looking for Graham. And the thing Graham adds is all receivers can get open on the horizontal level, okay? But at 6'7", Graham has a vertical plane that he can get open on. Different story.
Yeah, Graham is terrific in the end zone. So is Doug Baldwin. He is also tied for their lead with touchdown receptions at 5 apiece. Let's talk about Christian Michael. He's with the Packers now. A month ago, he was sitting with the Seattle Seahawks. Sometimes we think, okay, well, a guy was just with that other team. Can the coaches, can his teammates pick his brain a little bit and get some information about the Seahawks, or is that just overblown?
Well, I don't think he's going to be able to give him the key to the Emerald City out there in Seattle. Is that what they call it?
Sure.
I don't think he's going to be able to do that. I'm sure they've talked to him, but I think the big emphasis with Christian Michael right now is get him acclimated to the Green Bay Packers way of doing things. Get him acclimated to the Green Bay Packers offense so he can have a bigger impact for Green Bay.
Yeah, hopefully he gets a few more touches today. You know, one of the big stories throughout the week, the news on Nick Perry, he's not going to be playing today. He's got that hand injury he suffered last week. What kind of an impact does that make on this defense for the Packers?
Well, big. Nick Perry's having a heck of a year. He's leading the Packers in sacks. He's a good player against the run. It's one of those things you just got to deal with.
Still to come.
Leaping grab, Jordy Nelson. He's got it. Oh, what a catch.
Houston couldn't halt Jordy's production, nor could the snow and ice. When we come back, Larry goes one-on-one with Packers wideout Jordy Nelson to get his take on some key plays from last week's big win over the Texans. Packers Today is back after this timeout.
The way you prepare, you'll prepare yourself to be successful. My preparation will be able to take all my nerves, all the pressure away, and just allow myself to go out and play.
Caught! Touchdown! A sensational catch by Jordy Nelson!
Lofts right side of the end zone. Jordy!
Touchdown! Beautiful!
Vintage Jordy Nelson!
I don't ever want to settle. We only get to do this for so long, and if you're not pouring it all out, then I don't think you're doing yourself justice.
After missing the entire 2015 season, Jordy Nelson is putting together quite the resume for Comeback Player of the Year. As the season has progressed, so has Jordy. He's now on pace for 92 receptions, 1,160 yards receiving, and 13 touchdowns. Earlier this week, Larry sat down with the Packers wideout to get his perspective on his return to form. Larry?
Jordy, you're coming off a game where you put on a virtual receiving clinic. I wanted to ask you about several of your catches. First of all, the TD catch. Now, it's true the defender fell down. However, you had a step out of his tackle attempt. And my question is, can that ball get there soon enough in those kind of situations?
Absolutely not. Some of those, you feel like you're standing there forever, and especially in that situation where you know you're all by yourself in the end zone. You have two guys coming at you trying to gain as much ground as possible. So it takes a while, but you got to focus because those are honestly very easy to drop to. You can start overthinking it, and you have time to think about it instead of just react. So those can become difficult.
Later on in the fourth quarter, cover two beater, and you know you're going to get smacked. That safety is coming over the top. You know it. The stadium knows it. How do you maintain your concentration and focus?
I don't know. I don't even know if I did. I think I got lucky. But it's one of those things that you're going to get hit either way. So you try to do your best to still make the catch. He laid a good blow. I think he got the worst of the deal, so that's good for my benefit. But big play in the game to get a first down there and continue on that long, sustaining drive we had in the fourth quarter to kind of almost steal the game.
Speaking of which, later in said drive, you go down on the left side. And you got a step or two on the defender. Makes a pretty good recovery, and you go up and outfight that dude for that football for 28 big yards.
Yeah, it's a play we needed to have. I think it was third and six, and it's hard to slow down and have someone run into you like that and still be able to make the catch, but was able to secure it. Big play, big first down, and then we capitalized with the reverse to Jeff, and then you got to love Rip when he pounds it into the end zone.
For a moment, if we could, the heck with other people's expectations. Coming back after a big fix. He had a serious injury. Coming back after a big fix. Is Jordy Nelson meeting Jordy Nelson's expectations?
I think so, because my expectations coming back were I wanted to practice every day. I wanted to be back to someone who was consistent week in and week out on the way I practiced, the way I played. I wanted to play every game after you miss a whole season. So to me, it was the little things. I've never been a numbers guy to where, you know, I wanted to come into the year and get 1,200 yards, 10 touchdowns or whatever, because you can't determine that. But to me, it was playing and performing every week. Probably for me, I'd prefer to be a little bit more consistent early in the year, but that's part of it and getting back into the rhythm and honestly getting back in shape to where I could play at a high level every play. I think we're to that point now, and we'll see how it ends.
Jordy, you are strongly in the conversation for comeback player of the year. Would that be something that matters a lot to you?
It would, and not necessarily for me and for what I've done, but for all the people who put the time and work into what we did throughout the year of getting back. If it's Doc McKenzie and the surgeries that he's done on me the last couple of years, if it's the trainers and the daily grind that we had each and every week to the weight room, everyone, even the nutritionists of, you know, informing me on what I need to eat and understand that it's all right to put on some weight to begin with because your body needs that to heal. And then obviously our coaches to get me back on the field. So to me, it's more to recognize them and what they've done. It's been a long process, and we're reaping the benefits of the work that all of us put in.
Seahawks going to be without Earl Thomas. What's that do or not do for Jordy Nelson?
I think it makes a difference. To me, probably one of the best safeties in the game. The amount of ground that he covers, the force that he brings when he hits you, the leader that he probably is on that defense, and the continuity that they've always had. So I think that's something that will be an adjustment for him. It's unfortunate, but again, I mean, like we've seen in the years, it's part of the game. So I think it will make a difference, but we're still going to have to execute. They still got great players across the board. They'll adjust on the fly. I mean, they'll probably take the same mantra of the next man up type thing and come in here ready to play.
You've played them three times in the last two seasons. You've beat them. You've lost them. What's it going to take to beat them this time?
Probably ball security. Turnovers play a huge impact in this game. Field position plays a huge impact. The way they play defense and offense and special teams, it all plays a role in that. So I think we got to take care of the ball, manage the field position, and trying to stay balanced, but making the most of the opportunities, not making any mistakes. And when we get the chance to make a big play or capitalize on a big game, we got to do it.
Coming up next on Packers Today.
Hand off Montgomery, right side, got the first down, down the sideline, and out of bounds.
So what is he? A receiver who can pinch hit as a running back? Or a running back who can also line up as a receiver? Larry ends the debate in this week's Chalk Talk. Here's a look at the statistical breakdown between the Seahawks and the Packers. Thanks for watching. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. Welcome back. You're watching Packers Today, presented by Verizon.
Shotgun snapped Osweiler. Sets, looks, in a tight pocket. He's hit and takes a sack. Back inside the 30-yard line, Julius Peppers.
I guess the Bears underestimated how much Julius Peppers had left in his tank when they gave him up. Julius with 24 regular season sacks since joining the Packers 3 years ago.
Tell you what, Ted, I've been around Packer football on almost a daily basis since 1973. It's a long time. And there are several players over that period that I would say it was a privilege watching them play. And Julius Peppers is one of them.
Well, we go from an older guy to a younger guy in Ty Montgomery. He's getting it done both as a receiver and a running back, and A for what he's been able to do from effort and adaptability.
Ted, I'm glad you brought him up, because if you think Ty Montgomery is still a wide receiver who can play running back in a pinch, you may want to think again. Here's this week's Chalk Talk, brought to you by Sandwich Bros.
Montgomery has become a running back who can play wide receiver in a pinch. How about his ability to change direction? One cut to take advantage of a Spriggs block, another cut to take advantage of a Taylor block, then a strong finish for a tough 4 yards.
Watch the tape, and he's going about doing it the right way.
How about the instincts you cannot coach, like a subtle change of pace? Kareem Jackson is in perfect position to make the tackle, but Montgomery slows, then bursts around him, and it's another strong finish for 11.
Step through tackle, yes. Tech 45, got the first down.
I had to weave my way through there, be patient a little bit, have some good vision, but those guys up front did a great job, and I was able to find it and hit it the right way.
How about the vision to see the hole and the power to win when he hits it? As well as the ever-present attitude that when it comes to contact, it is better to give than to receive.
He broke a tackle, used a stiff arm, showed good balance, played with good pad level. Again, the course, the read, we talk about aiming points. From a fundamental standpoint, you did a good job of that.
And Ted, in his 35 carries to date, Ty Montgomery is averaging 5.3 yards per carry, the most of any Packers running back. Case closed.
Sounds good. Hey, we've got to take a timeout. When we come back, we'll get Larry's key matchup for the day. You're watching Packers Today.
Wilson hit from behind, and he's sacked. Devon Diggs, baby! The Seahawks are going back to the Super Bowl. Intercepted by Javon Elliott. Football recovered by the Packers, and there is your dagger.
Given the familiarity between these two clubs, you could say the Packers and the Seahawks have developed a bit of a rivalry against each other. Here's a look at the series matchup. Today's game will be their fifth meeting since the start of 2012. Head coach Mike McCarthy is 4-4 against the Seahawks. Yeah, it's become a great rivalry, Larry, and I tell you what, you circle this one on the calendar every time they match up. What's the big matchup you're looking forward to in this game?
Well, I'll tell you what, Ted, Aaron Rodgers versus whatever the Seahawks do to replace Earl Thomas. Now, against Carolina, they brought in another player, Stephen Terrell, and they can do that, or they can mix and match some of their personnel to try to cover up Thomas's loss, but they're never going to replace Earl Thomas an apple for an apple. He is that good of a player. They're not going to replace his range, his instincts, or his leadership. I'm looking forward to that matchup.
Looking forward to the entire game. It's at Lambeau this afternoon. Have a great call.
Thank you.
For Larry McCarron, I'm Ted Stefaniak. We'll see you next week on Packers Today.